Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And while at my website, be sure to click on our podcast page to check out our past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. You know, there's one number a lot of retirees watch closely every fall, and no, it's not their fantasy football scores. It's the Social Security Cost of Living Adjustment, or COLA for short. The Social Security Administration, or SSA, recently announced the 2026 COLA, and it's coming in at 2.8%. That's a modest increase, but it still means a little bit more breathing room for millions of retirees. In a recent Kiplinger article titled, 2026 Social Security COLA is 2.8%, What You Need to Know, it notes that according to the SSA, 2.8% may translate to about $56 more per month for the average retiree, bringing the average benefit to roughly $2,071 a month. But for married couples receiving benefits, the increase could be closer to $88 a month, raising the typical total to be about $3,208. Now, that's not a dramatic jump, but in this environment, even a small adjustment may help offset rising prices. Interestingly, this announcement was delayed a bit this year because of the recent government shutdown. Some Bureau of Labor Statistics employees were even temporarily brought back just to finalize the Consumer Price Index report, which is the data used to calculate the COLA. So while the news came a little bit later than usual, retirees can now plan around that new number for the next year. Before we get started, let me bring in my co-host, who swears her coffee budget could use its own cost of living adjustment. Jacqueline?
Well, thank you, Stephen. And you are definitely not wrong. Here in Minnesota, you know, we have a thing or a place called Caribou Coffee. So it's like a Starbucks, you know, it's a local place. And I have my energy drink. I get my coffee. And it definitely outpaces, you know, inflation. So it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But how are you, Stephen? How was your weekend?
Oh, I'm good. Staying busy, keeping up with the weather change and daylight savings. So here we go. Yeah, we're rocking and rolling here on a Monday.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about this topic. I mean, this is very, very relevant. I know a lot of people are wondering about these numbers and, you know, should we be scared like we were in the past? And, you know, where are we going to start today?
Yeah, let's take a deeper dive into the Kiplinger article I referenced at the top of our show. When we look at this 2.8% cost of living adjustment in context, it actually lines up pretty closely with what we've seen over the long term. During the past 20 years, Social Security's COLA has averaged about 2.6%. So yes, 2.8% is modest, but it isn't unusual. Even current inflation is sitting right around 3%, and projections for next year are a bit lower than that. So this increase may help many retirees mostly keep up with the day-to-day cost increases. Now, I say mostly because for some people, it may not feel like enough.
Absolutely. But why is that, Stephen?
Yeah, because retirees often spend more in areas like healthcare, housing, and prescriptions, and those things that may go up faster than overall inflation. So even if the COLA math says 2.8% is reasonable, someone who's seeing their out-of-pocket medical costs jump might feel like that's still falling behind. And you could really see how wide the swings have been. We've had years like 2016 when the COLA was literally 0.0% because prices were actually moving down in some areas. Then just a few years later in 2023, when inflation spiked after COVID, the COLA shot all the way up to 8.7%, that was one of the biggest jumps in recent history. Since then, we've seen things cool off, like 3.2% in 2024, 2.5% in 2025, and now 2.8% in 2026. So what we're seeing now may be more of a return to normal.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because I think a lot of people still remember that 8.7% jump from a couple of years ago and kind of hope for something like that every year. But what you're saying is a number closer to 2% or 3% is actually typical, and it may be a sign that inflation's calming down, not heating up.
Yeah, a COLA of 8.7% usually means the economy is under a lot of stress. Right? A COLA of 2.2 to 3% may not feel exciting, but it can mean that prices are really stabilizing, and which also means a little bit easier to budget, right? So
absolutely. And so how does the Social Security Administration actually come up with the COLA number every year, Stephen?
It's not just a guess. It's really based on a formula tied to inflation. Specifically, the government uses something called the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, or CPIW. Now, that wasn't always the case. When the Social Security first started, Congress had to pass a new law each time they wanted to raise benefits. But in the 1970s, inflation was running so high that people's fixed incomes were losing value fast. So in 1972, Congress passed an amendment to make those adjustments automatic, and the first automatic COLA went into effect in 1975. Today, the Social Security Administration looks at inflation specifically in July, August, and September, and then compares the average prices during those months to the same 3 months from the previous year. The percentage change between those two averages becomes the COLA for the next year.
So it really is a direct reflection of what's happening with inflation in those 3 months, not the entire year.
Exactly. It's just a snapshot. They may not capture all the ups and downs in prices over the full year, but it gives a good benchmark for how the cost of living is trending. There have been also proposals to base the COLA on a different inflation measure called the CPIE, which focuses on Americans age 62 and older. Supporters say it might better reflect expenses retirees face, especially since it puts more weight on healthcare cost. But so far, those proposals really haven't gone anywhere.
That makes sense, Stephen, because Social Security benefits aren't just for retirees, right?
That's right. The COLA also applies to disability and survivor benefits, not just retirement checks. So while a retiree-focused index could help some groups, it may not be as fair or effective across all the people who rely on Social Security.
That's great information. Whenever we do a show on Social Security, I'm reminded all over again just how many layers the program really has.
Here's something a lot of people don't realize until they're already receiving benefits. If you're collecting Social Security and you're still working, your earnings may temporarily reduce your monthly benefit. It's called the earnings test, and it applies to people who start claiming benefits before reaching full retirement age. For 2026, the Social Security Administration will withhold $1 in benefits for every $2 you earn above $24,480 per year. That's about $2,040 a month. So if someone keeps working part-time or takes on consulting work and earns more than that, their benefits could be adjusted downward temporarily.
Well, and Stephen, temporarily is the key word here, because with those withheld benefits, you know, they aren't really lost, right?
Sure. Yeah. Once you reach full retirement age, Social Security does recalculate your benefit amount and credits back the months when payments were withheld. Over time, you may recover much of what you didn't receive earlier. So it's more of a timing issue than a penalty. And in the year when someone reaches full retirement age, the test becomes more lenient. In 2026, the Social Security Administration will withhold $1 for every $3 earned above $65,160 or $5,430 per month. So if someone's planning to keep working a bit while easing into retirement, it may make sense to understand where they stand relative to those thresholds.
Well, that's good to know, Stephen, especially for people who like staying active in the workforce, but want to start tapping into their benefits early. It sounds like careful timing and strategizing could make a real difference in how much income they see month to month.
Yep. A little foresight and good understanding of how these rules work can help you avoid surprises and keep your retirement income strategy running pretty smoothly.
Stephen, what else should listeners know about Social Security changes within this new year?
The taxable wage cap is another important Social Security update for 2026 that affects people who are still working. This is the maximum amount of income that's subject to Social Security taxes and also amount used to calculate your future benefits. For 2026, that cap is increasing to $184,500, which is up about $8,400 from the $176,100 limit in 2025. In other words, any income you earn above $184,500 next year won't be taxed for Social Security purposes, and it also won't increase the benefit you eventually receive.
So that cap moves up almost every year, right, Stephen?
Right. It's supposed to be indexed to inflation. So as overall prices and wages increase, that ceiling adjusts upwards too. It's gone up from $168,600 in 2024 to $176,100 in 2025. And now in 2026, it's up to $184,500. So you can safely anticipate that it can climb again in 2027 if inflation continues at this pace.
Got it. For people who earn above that limit, their take-home pay might see a small bump once they hit that cap, but it doesn't really translate to higher Social Security benefits down the road.
That's right. And while it's one of those lesser-known details, understanding how that wage cap works may help you set expectations for both your paychecks and your eventual retirement benefits. Here's another key number to keep in mind for 2026. How much you need to earn to qualify for Social Security work credits. These credits are what determine whether you're eligible for retirement benefits down the road.
Stephen, for our listeners, can you explain what the details are for those credits in 2026?
Yeah, to qualify, you need at least 40 credits over your working lifetime, and you can earn up to 4 credits per year. Without enough credits, the Social Security Administration simply can't pay you retirement benefits. For 2026, you'll earn 1 credit for every $1,890 in wages or self-employment income. That means you'll need to earn $7,560 during the year to get the maximum 4 credits. By comparison, in 2025, it took $1,810 to earn a credit or about $80 less. So you can see how that threshold rises each year with inflation.
So those credits really serve as your ticket into the Social Security system, not just for retirement, but for things like disability or survivor benefits too, right, Stephen?
Sure. Yeah. The number of credits you've earned may also determine eligibility for disability benefits, Medicare, and even survivor benefits for your family. It's one of those behind the scenes factors that quietly builds over your career, but it can make a big difference when it's time to claim benefits later on.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, before we keep going with today's conversation, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to help build or adjust their financial strategy with you?
Just give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Thanks, Stephen. So now let's just jump right back into today's topic.
Yes, when you choose to begin claiming your benefits is one of the biggest factors that can affect how much you receive from Social Security. Timing can make a big difference. If you wait to start collecting until age 70, your monthly benefits may increase significantly. Social Security adds roughly 2/3 of 1% for each month you delay after your full retirement age. That's about 8% more per year. So if you wait until 70, your benefits could be around 28% higher than it would have been if you started right at your full retirement age.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge difference. But the reverse is also true, right? I mean, claiming early may mean locking in a lower benefit for your entire life.
Very good point. Yeah, for those born in 1960 or later, claiming at 62 may reduce your benefit by about 30% compared with waiting until full retirement age. And spousal benefits can also be reduced even more, up to 35% if claimed early. Remember, a spouse's maximum benefit is 50% of the worker's full retirement amount. So that reduction applies on top of that 50%. That's why some people look at what's called a Social Security bridge strategy, which is using savings or investments such as an IRA or 401k to cover expenses for a few years so they can delay claiming benefits. Doing that may allow your Social Security income to grow to its full potential before you actually start drawing from it.
That makes a lot of sense, Stephen, because it's about balancing your income sources so you're not forced to claim too early and give up that extra growth.
Yep. Everyone's situation is different, but for those who have other retirement assets to lean on, waiting to claim may actually help boost that guaranteed income stream for the rest of their lives.
Stephen, we've talked a lot about Social Security lately, the new COLA, the wage cap, how benefits are calculated. But let's dig into something just as important, how working with a financial advisor can truly make a huge difference. Because a lot of people think Social Security is what it is. I'll just take it when I take it.
That's true. And it's one of the biggest misconceptions out there. Social Security may feel automatic, but there are many choices that can affect how much you receive over your lifetime. Things like when you file or how long you work, whether you coordinate benefits with a spouse, or even how you manage your other income sources can all change the outcome. A financial advisor helps you see those moving parts as one picture, not as a separate decision.
Because it's not just about when do I start my benefits. It's how that decision fits into your entire retirement strategy.
Yes. And for example, one of the first things I do with clients is run several Social Security claiming scenarios. We look at what happens if they claim at 62 at their full retirement age, or if they wait until 70. We can show them in real dollars how much each option may add or subtract from their monthly income, and importantly, how long it may take to break even. That context helps people make confident, more informed decisions instead of just guessing.
That's so helpful, Stephen, because it's not one size fits all. For some, waiting might make more sense. For others, maybe there's a reason to claim earlier, especially if their health or other financial needs come into play.
Yes, very true. There's no universal best age. A financial services professional or advisor can look at the full picture, your health, your work plans, your spouse's situation, your savings, and even your tax bracket. Sometimes it makes more sense to claim earlier, while in other instances, waiting may provide a much higher long-term benefit. That's where strategy comes in, because it can help you balance Social Security with other income sources to create a more sustainable retirement strategy.
So you're helping people coordinate how they use their different buckets of income, Stephen, like savings, investments, and retirement accounts to support their lifestyle while still letting their Social Security benefit grow.
Yeah, I like to think of it as building a retirement income bridge. For example, someone might use withdrawals from a 401k or IRA for a few years to cover expenses while delaying their Social Security claim. That approach may allow their Social Security benefits to grow by roughly 8% per year between full retirement age and 70, and that's a big jump. And because those withdrawals are planned strategically, we can often manage taxes more efficiently at the same time.
Well, so Stephen, how taxes tie into Social Security strategy is an angle people might not realize.
I think that's right. Up to 85% of your Social Security benefit may be taxable, depending on your total income. A financial advisor can help structure withdrawals from different accounts, blending taxable, tax-deferred, and Roth assets to help you stay in a lower tax bracket or minimize the taxation on your benefits. It's all about coordination. Social Security doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's one piece of the larger retirement puzzle.
And I imagine you also help people project what their expenses might look like, because retirement isn't just about income. It's about making sure that income matches what you want your retirement lifestyle to truly be.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of the job is talking about lifestyle goals, not just numbers. Some people want to travel. Some people want to downsize. Some people want to help grandkids' college funds. Once we know those goals, we can estimate what that lifestyle may cost and then build a strategy that balances guaranteed income like Social Security with flexible income from different investments. That's where we can help align the emotional side of retirement with the black and white or the financial realities.
And that's a great way to put it, because so many people think preparing for retirement is just spreadsheets and charts, but it's about designing the life that you want to live.
Yes, Social Security is the foundation for most Americans' retirement income, but it's not the whole house. A financial advisor helps you design the rest of the structure, how your investments, savings, and insurance all work together, just so you can stay confident no matter what the markets do or how long you live.
Well, and I know for some listeners out there, this may sound like something that you can just read online or plug into a calculator, But what you're describing, Stephen, sounds more like it's personalized.
Yeah, online calculators are maybe a great start for some quick estimates, but they don't know your health history, your goals, or even how you actually spend money. This is where a financial advisor can help run the same numbers through a retirement income model and then adjust your personal situation with things like inflation, medical costs, or even part-time work. We can also stress test your strategy. What happens if inflation runs higher or if one spouse claims early and the other waits? That level of insight may help you make smarter or more resilient decisions.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, we've had an excellent show so far today. I mean, would you like to add anything else before we wrap things up?
Well, if you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategies, again, please visit our website at veritywealthgroup.com or call us at 626-650-9486. We're always here to help protect your savings and help you feel more confident about the road ahead.
Absolutely. Well, and for our listeners, you know, be sure to call Stephen and his team so you can receive that no obligation consultation. So Stephen and his team can walk you through these new cost of living adjustment numbers. And, you know, I appreciate this show today, Stephen. And that does it for this episode of the Verity Wealth Report with our host, Stephen Ting.
Join us next time for another great episode of the Verity Wealth Report. Stay well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Ting at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Gradient Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, and SEC, Registered Investment Advisor. Gradient Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Gradient Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Gradient Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.